Have you ever had the desire to place your initials in wet cement?
Ever gone mountain biking?
What do you want to be when you grow up?
What's the right tip?
Have you called a plumber to your home lately?
How superstitious are you?
How much money would it take for you to spend a night in a cemetery?
Would you display this as a trophy?
Do you have a pet?
Do you have a sweet tooth?
Do you believe in the power of a curse?
Have you had your hearing tested lately?
Are you planning a trip soon?
Do you remember the tallest man you've ever seen?
Do you ever want to go a-wandering underneath the clear blue sky?
Have you noticed what big stars real estate agents have become?
Are you careful with your personal records?
Does your computer ever seem to have a mind of its own?
Have you ever visited a Chinatown section of a major city?
Have you ever visited a flea market?
Ever visited a truck stop?
Did you ever have a job as a waiter?
Have you noticed how many successful restaurants are theme-based these days?
Firefighters are constant reminders of heroic behavior.
Auto racing has become one of America's fastest-growing sports.
Thieves are difficult to outsmart.
Dolls seem to have their own personalities.
Milk only comes in a carton.
Many crimes remain a mystery forever.
Making movies is easier than it's ever been.
The conscience is a meddlesome companion.
The guillotine has been out of fashion for a while.
Comic books are serious business.
The video business has become big business.
An all-access pass to a precious commodity.
If you could remember the 60s, you weren't really there.
Wheelchairs like this are used in many ways.
Of course, it's always safer to hike in groups.
Horses has long been thought of as magical creatures.
It's horse time! Oh, so that was a little easier to get through the second time. We had to do that. We had to do that twice because of a thing that happened on the first try, and I lost my shit at a wandering.
You can still hear the significant pause after a wandering beneath the big blue sky.
And I was trying my best not to laugh as I spoke. So welcome to the PZ85 Legend. It's horse time. It's just horse time.
It's me and you. We wanted it to be horse time. The vote is unanimous.
Yeah, because there's no one to stop us tonight. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be the host tonight. With me, of course, and only with me tonight, is Double H.
Have you ever called me Double H?
Have you ever noticed that Tanner couldn't be here tonight?
Have you ever noticed that Dalton is probably terrified of Bly Manor?
Do you wonder sometimes where Derek Boxdorfer is at this time of night?
Do you wonder what time it is in Canada with Josh?
We could keep this going all night. So if you've never seen what we just referenced, and I just found out about it just a couple days ago, I think. It's a supercut of Jonathan Frakes, the great Jonathan Frakes. You may remember
great
Commander William Riker on Star Trek: The Next Generation, the best Star Trek. Fight me IRL.
It is.
He hosted a show called Beyond Belief. Was it Beyond Belief Factor Fiction? Was that the full title of it? Or was it just Beyond Belief? It might have just been Beyond Belief.
No, it was Beyond Belief Factor Fiction. Sorry. At the same time you said that, I just saw Cody said that they just broke up the New Day on SmackDown.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That's like why.
Oh, shit. That means Ace is having a fucking shit fit somewhere right now.
He said they did it by way of the draft, because they started the draft tonight, and apparently they did it by way of that, which
that's
is
some
just
weak sauce.
Especially because they already announced you can draft people by their teams. I mean, they specifically said like the Hurt Business is going to be draftable as a group. Retribution is draftable as a group.
And they did. I looked at the draft earlier. They did draft Hurt Business, all four members.
To SmackDown?
No, they kept them on Raw. But
oh, that's right. They're doing. I forgot. It's not just like because it's SmackDown. That's who's going to SmackDown. I forget that. That's how they're doing that. Got
stupid
it.
As hell. What's not stupid as hell though is the Jonathan Frakes supercut meme from a great little show called Beyond Belief: Fact or Fiction, which we've talked about it on the show before. But if you've never seen it, and I do, it's on. There is a free television service that I have. I think it's called Pluto TV. Oh no, that's not it. It's some
Voodoo.
Free... No,
you're talking about Voodoo.
It's one of those things that comes like pre-installed on televisions, and okay. Jesus Christ,
Brid,
Brid, it's you goddamn Brid, it's got all the episodes on it, and they present different stories, and some are true, some are false, and you have to figure out which ones are true or not. And Jonathan Frakes was the host, and it was fantastic. It's one of my all-time favorite shows.
I can save you a lot of trouble on that because apparently it is on Amazon Prime right now for free.
There it is. I might actually watch. Yeah, that's right. Because I watched an episode of a couple months, like a week or two ago. Yes. I loved that show. And we've talked about it before.
It was a great show.
Because that's the show that it was hosted originally by James Brolin first, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. And then Jonathan Frakes came and saved it because it sucked with James Brolin.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. James Brolin's a great actor. Don't get me wrong. But Jonathan Frakes, it's just that delivery, man. You know,
yeah.
Have you ever gone a wandering underneath the clear blue sky or whatever the hell he says? It's just hilarious. It's great.
And it's that charm. He's got such a charming demeanor. Like, there's a reason Riker is my all time favorite Star Trek character. Again, fight me IRL. you know, this is the first show you and I have done with just the two of us since, I think, the Ghostbusters episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, even since. Since I came back in March, April, whenever that was, I mean, there's always been at least one other person around. And then, of course, last week, there was no horse time because we knocked out all our... Yeah, I wasn't around, so we knocked out all our stuff on Thursday.
Right.
Horse
time, this is one of those shows that, like, I feel like there's... It's like PW. If PW doesn't have Asa, it doesn't feel the same. And if horse time doesn't have me and you, I feel like it's not the same.
It's just not the same.
No, because I say the dumbest shit possible, and then you come in with the witty banter, and you save it. So
I don't know about all that. To your point, for the record, about Star Trek: The Next Generation, Frakes was definitely, as Riker, was definitely the best. But you gotta put in an honorable mention to LeVar Burton as Geordi LaForge.
Well, I wish I were LeVar Burton.
Yeah, I mean, where's my iconic Star Trek role?
Actually, I think you.
No, but
you
really, when I was a kid, he was my favorite character. Legitimately, Geordi LaForge was visor. My favorite character. I liked the visor, and that was it. That's all I needed for it, really.
Well, I watched Star Trek: Next Generation religiously, and this isn't going to be just like a Star Trek. People are tuning into Horse Time, going like, "No, what is this conversation?" No, we'll get to it. Don't worry. But the Next Generation was my all-time favorite Star Trek show, like by far. There's not even one that comes close to it. And almost all the characters on the Next Generation to me are iconic. From, you know, Jean-Luc Picard, Deanna Troi, Beverly Crusher. Yep. I mean, like everyone, top to Brian. Chief O'Brien, I don't care. Worf. I mean, that show was just, as the kids say, that show was a banger.
It was lit.
It was lit AF.
But no, it really was. It was a great show. And again, I didn't really care about Star Trek before that, and frankly, I didn't really care about Star Trek after that. I had I had a very brief window of Star Trek love. My cousin Ben, who I think I've mentioned on the show before, he would have been the same age, or well, he is the same age as you. He's not dead, as far as I know, anyway. Fuck, I haven't talked to him in years. But he's 3 years older than me, so he's like right around the same age as you. And when I was a kid, the timing of that for him especially was perfect because I was like, you know, 6, 7. I'm looking for somebody to look up to. And, of course, he's perfectly aged at like, you know, 9, 10, 11. So everything he was into was the coolest thing I had ever seen. He got me into Star Trek. He got me into Final Fantasy. He got me into Resident Evil. And to be fair, a lot of that carried over and stuck with me. He even got me into Star Wars, too. But for whatever reason, Star Wars just stuck more with me. Star Trek was his one to introduce me to, and it was what was on TV, so I could watch it, and I did, and I enjoyed what I watched. But then, I mean, after that, they went to what I have later come to appreciate to some degree, shows like Deep Space Nine and Voyager and such, but they're just, there's not that iconic capability of them. They don't carry that same level of icon status And the original show, I've never gone back and watched. I've watched bits and pieces of it, but I've never gone back and just sat down and watched the original Star Trek.
So. I'm the same. I've seen bits and pieces of it because, I mean, you kind of have to with Star Trek. You want to pay respects to the OG, but I always found the original Star Trek to be kind of boring. And I guess to an extent, so is Next Generation. And I think that's why I appreciate it more now than I even did back then, because I also like Star Wars more, because it was that super adventurous space opera, you know, gunslingers and knights and whatnot. But what I really loved about Star Trek, especially with the Next Generation, was that sense of exploration and the whole boldly go where no one's gone before, and communicating with other races and aliens, and like it was just that Federation style stuff that I didn't appreciate as much back then. I really love now, because if I had a choice of Shannon Young, Mr. 100, would you like to either command your own starship and explore galaxies and meet and seduce alien women, or would you like to maybe get dirty on some desert planet, deal with a giant slug man, and maybe even have your whole entire planet blown up by, you know, space Nazis? I'd probably pick the first one. I'm not saying it's a definite, but I'm leaning towards it. And you get to wear those sweet little uniforms that they had and everything. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
much better than anyone gave it credit for.
It's funny that they constantly get compared, because they're not the same thing at all. They're not even really in the same genre. I mean, yeah, Star Trek has some level of action. Obviously, most episodes have some action to them and some drama. And Star Wars is that space opera, so it's got a little bit of everything. But Star Wars was almost always exclusively designed to be a film. Really, until we got the Clone Wars, I guess. But really, until we got The Mandalorian, there wasn't a Star Wars TV show, quote-unquote.
Right.
And it was designed in a totally different way.
It's weird, because the Star Wars movies are episodic. And... Uh-huh. But not a TV show, which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
I always felt that Star Trek was a smarter program than Star Wars, like by far.
Oh, it is, because it makes itself out to be much more science fiction by way of not reality, I guess, but far more realistic than Star Wars ever did. Star Wars does not care about realism at all, and I mean, frankly, good, right? It's a space opera. It's intended to not be super realistic, but Star Trek, it treaded the line a lot closer.
Yeah, and you know, there were some times that I would watch, especially when I watched the newer Star Treks, I would think, this is just Shongle shit right here. Like, I don't even know what this is. Hunter, it's worse for you guys that are listening. It's worse to do the Friday show with Hunter when it's just you and him, because he's constantly shitposting in the chat. So to try to get your point, and then a shirt pops up that says, surely not everybody was kung fu fighting, or Walgreens, get your shingles shit today. And you can't not look
at your shingles shot.
No, the shingles shit. I feel like Lindsay, look, yesterday when we were talking about that fucking hot dog pie, and she could not
just
look at the hot dog pie.
She said, look away.
Which, fuck. No.
It's got to be your Mongo.
I actually cut
Here
that shit
Mongo.
Out.
Here comes Mongo.
Here comes Mongo. I got a text from Maria this morning that said, because I guess, or maybe it was last night. It was last night or this morning. I don't know. Time has become strange to me. I started going to bed early and getting up earlier. So now I don't even know what fucking year it is. Is it still 2020?
Quarantine has done weird things to everybody. Even when I got back to working regularly, it was like, yeah, but none of this is right time-wise, right?
Right.
None of this works.
Yeah. This is a do-over. We need to do-over this entire year. Except I don't want to do-over the entire year. Some good things happened to me. We'll get into that at some point in my life. But she texted me this morning, or maybe last night, and said, would you please stop, and I'm paraphrasing, would you please stop talking about the hot dog pie before I yak? And I'm like, at least you only had to hear it. She had to fucking look at it. She had to see the hot dog pie.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. She really did. We didn't let up on that. She
no,
didn't
nor
have much
should
of a
we.
Choice.
No, nor should we.
No, hot dog pie is a treasure in this country, and I will not stand for the blasphemy about it any longer.
Okay, you're sending me this picture, and it looks normal, so I'm wondering what the fuck's wrong with it.
There's nothing. It's just a picture of somebody's living room. There's nothing wrong with it. Stop overthinking things.
Oh, my God. That is my biggest problem, is overthinking things. No, seriously, what's wrong with this damn picture?
Nothing's wrong with any of this. That's just somebody's den. There's nothing to see there.
Is this your place? I don't like this. What is this? This is freaking me out.
This is just, it's just pictures of a house. It's fine. There's nothing to it.
It's not fine. Stop messing with me. How are you messing with me this bad by just sending me pictures of what looks like a den?
Don't worry. Okay, right now, hang on. This is you and this is me. I've connected two dots.
There was one dot. I'm still trying to fucking connect them.
Don't worry, it's fine. Have you started watching The Haunting of Bly Manor yet?
I feel like an idiot. No, I was actually gonna. So I had two thoughts on it. I was either going to start watching it with Lindsay tonight, or I was gonna wait until Maria could join us and then we would all watch it together. But I'm super impatient.
There's 9 episodes, so I mean, if you're gonna sit down and just go, you can get. We got through the entirety of Hill House when it came out. What, 2 years ago? We got through the entirety of that thing in one day. And this looks like you can pretty well do the same. Sarah and I got through the first 2 episodes before I got in for the show tonight.
Well, she when we watched the original, the Hill House show, me and Lindsay and Allie watched it. And we could only watch it when everybody was off work because none of us wanted to watch it without the other. So it had to be that perfect moment where the stars aligned and all 3 of us had time where we could watch it. So it took us a couple days to get through it. But yeah. It was also the best television show I've ever seen in my life, hands down. And I'm assuming, I've heard Bly Manor's not as good, but still good.
I mean, I haven't seen enough yet to really place that level of judgment on it. I am assuming it is also not as good because, like you said, Hill House for me may not be the best show I've ever seen of all time. That would be real hard to guarantee, but it's definitely up there. I mean, it's top 10 without a question. I've seen a lot of TV, so I would have to really sit down and think about that. But it's top 10 without question because it was just so perfectly paced. It was terrifying, but it was good family drama. It was so well acted. So far, I mean, I really like Bly Manor. Don't get me wrong. But two episodes in, I cannot tell you that I am connected to those characters in the same way. I will say this. This one seems, I don't want to say it's scarier. I think it's just scarier because.
Well, see, I've heard the opposite. I've heard it's not as scary. It's not as intense. But to me, Hill House, short of, especially in the beginning, like the first couple of episodes, because it very much, to me, started as a drama, like just a family drama. But once it got into the ghosts and you started seeing like the bent neck lady and the tall guy and stuff like that, like it became unrelenting. And then there's that one moment in one of the later episodes, and I know Ace has talked about it quite a bit, where the two sisters are driving and then the one ghost just pops up in the middle of them and screams. That it's a jump scare. It's a jump scare, but it decimated me.
And they earned it. That's the thing. Yeah. You can absolutely earn a jump scare, and that show did it.
Right.
This one, okay, to this point thus far, they don't have the level of iconic ghosts that you see in the first one. I think what's getting me and what's putting me on edge is I remember it was not until we had watched either all of Hill House or most of it that I became aware of all the hidden like spirits and stuff in the frames.
Right.
This one I knew going in. I had already seen, we're doing it again. You know, keep your eyes peeled. And I guess it's just getting me that I'm intentionally, like, I've spotted so much stuff already. We'll be in the middle of watching the scene, and I'll just go, and Sarah's like, what? Hang on, go back. And so I go back and have to pause it, and then we just sit there and look at it for a minute and go, well, this is horrifying. Everything about this is horrifying. But yeah, the first 2 episodes have been good. I like it a lot, and I think it has that level of tension. But it also might be, I haven't really watched anything just full-on scary in a while. So,
oh, me neither. I honestly can't remember the last time something. Well, Hill House. I think Hill House was the last thing that actually scared me. And before that, I could even tell you what scared me before that. I am so desensitized to horror. I have a friend, Lauren, who text me and's like, hey, it's Halloween season, are you excited, you're gonna watch horror movies this month? And I'm like, I watch horror movies all the time. It's not a month for me. Like, horror films are my bread and butter. There's a misconception about Shannon Young, because I do run a game store that I love video games. I'll say it again for the millionth time, I hate video games. I mean, I enjoy playing them, but they are not a priority for me. The last time a video game was a priority for me, hands down, was when Fallout 4 came out. And I remember everyone joking about it, and, you know, Allie and I were dating at the time, and they all told her, well, say goodbye to Shannon, you're never going to see him again. And I started Fallout 4, and it was good, but it didn't catch me the way that I hoped it would, and I think you felt the same way about it.
Yeah, I finished it, and by the end of it, I enjoyed it quite a bit, but also by the end of it, I was sick of it, man. I was ready to be done with that game.
Same. I never finished it. I enjoyed what I played, but it just didn't catch me like Fallout 3 or New Vegas did, so she did not have to worry about that. I did not disappear on her, and that was the last time that I was ever obsessed with a game, short of Video Kid, but that's a whole other story. Oh, and Animal Crossing. Like, there was a window where me and you and Sarah and Maria and Ethan and Billy, Uncle Daddy, as we like to call him.
Yes, of course. Rich Uncle Dad.
Rich Uncle Daddy, where we played Animal Crossing, and that was legitimately like the most fun I've had playing a video game in years. Like, I just, scurry behind, you know, you and Maria and
a little slug trail, just leaving.
Yeah, just passing through. Don't worry about me. But my point, my original point is that, like, I really don't care about video games. I love movies. Movies are my passion. I love writing. I love watching. And of movies, horror movies are my absolute favorite. There's just something about a horror film that captivates me. I like action movies. I like comedies and all that stuff. But if I have a choice, it's horror, hands down. I've seen so many of them that I've actually run out of good ones to watch. And I'm just, like, begging them to make better horror films. I've become that person. So I'm desensitized to horror in general. Hill House scared the hell out of me. There were parts of that show that like really put me on edge. And I'm not expecting the same thing from Bly Manor, but I fully expect to be entertained by it, and I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, again, that's what I'm getting out of it so far. I mean, it's scary to the degree of, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that, but I'm not just full on, you know, jumping out of my socks. There is, I don't even want to tell you when it's coming, but there is a moment in episode 2, I'll say that much. That was very much, I need to pause and take a break after this. This is, I need a moment after watching that. And once you've seen that, let me know and I'll tell you the line. I don't want to say what I said because it gives away too much.
Okay.
But I said something that had Sarah pretty well rolling after the fact and it was worth it. So
that was,
but yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that was like the general reaction we had, both me, Bob and Allie, and then me, Jesse, Lauren, Shelby and Matt. A week ago when we watched Hereditary, there's a scene in Hereditary, and you know which one I'm talking about,
yes,
where we were in the theater and the entire theater just the air got sucked out of the room. Like everybody was just staring. She had tears in her eyes during that part, and especially the scene after it with the funeral. Jesse, when we watched it about a week ago, what I heard from him from that scene pretty much almost on to the end of the film is every couple of minutes he would quietly say, "What the fuck?"
I can hear him doing it too. I can
he
hear
just
him
kept repeating
going,
it.
"What the fuck? Why?
What the fuck?"
I can hear it. Yeah, as far as like the movies, games, things, you know, you and I are on a fairly similar spectrum there too. Because like, I found that out real quick when I worked at GameStop, spending the time that I did working there. I like certain video games. I don't just love video games. Don't get me wrong. I like to play the things that I like to play. And yes, I've almost always got one of every console. And,
right,
you know, I pick up a new game once every, at least, I don't know, at least every couple of months, if not once a month. You know, we pick up new stuff throughout the year. But when I think of somebody who loves video games, you mentioned a minute ago, I think of Ethan. Ethan
is
the person I know who loves video games. And he can pick up almost anything, be good at it almost immediately. Yeah. Every genre, every style, that's what he does. It's a big part of his identity. For me, it's certain games. Again, I'm very much a single player experience guy, which is why I never got around to 76. Fallout 4, I like.
It's good now.
Oh, that's what they tell me.
It's good now. Yeah.
2 years in, they finally got it figured out.
We did it.
There are certain things that when they're coming out, it's just, yes, this very much is, in my wheelhouse, and I'm going to go give it a shot. But I'm generally pretty hesitant to get outside of particular genres, certain, not just styles of games, but like even certain brands. You know, if it's Legend of Zelda, obviously, yeah, I'll give it a shot, as far as it's like a core game. But as good as I know Hyrule Warriors probably is, or even like that, the Legend of the Necrodancer thing, whatever it was called. I'm not going to play that, man. That's not my thing. There are even times, and this is true of me, that I've had to kind of admit to myself lately. When it comes to games that I played and loved, I have got to get past the mentality that you can go home again, because you can't. we bought the Mario 3D All-Stars collection. And
yeah,
it's great. Don't get me wrong. All three of those games are great in their own respects. And there it is. That's the problem. I sat down and I played Sunshine for like an hour. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to take a nap. That was two or three weeks ago, and I haven't picked that game up since.
I'm a big wrestling game fan. You know, we both played wrestling games like our entire life, and everyone always talks about how like No Mercy is the best wrestling game ever. And sometimes I'll go back and play No Mercy, and I'll play a match and go, well, that was fun, and then I'll just boot up WWE 2K19 again and play it for 3 hours.
Yep.
It's hard to go home again. And actually, when you mentioned Mario, the last time, other than Animal Crossing, the last obsession I had with a video game was Mario Maker, and that was. That actually explains my whole love of video games at this point, because when I was growing up, I was also very much a single player kind of guy. We would get together and play like GoldenEye or No Mercy and stuff like that with a couple mm-hmm. buddies. But for the most part, I was a big RPG fan. So I played Final Fantasy, Legend of Dragoon, Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger, stuff like that. And that was very much a single player thing. But my taste really progressed over time, and as I got into my college years, I picked up World of Warcraft, Ultima Online. I started getting to the MMOs and playing with random people because I didn't know anybody that played them, so I would just meet strangers and befriend them. Some of my lifelong friends that I still have today were made in Ultima Online or in World of Warcraft. And then it progressed from that into kind of where I am now, where I don't play a lot of single-player games because I'm always so busy, and I don't play multiplayer games because I'm always so busy. Mm-hmm. I'll play World of Warcraft because I know Lindsay and I are excited about Shadowlands, and I'm still determined to get Maria into it, and I think she wants to be. I just, you know, time. Again, we're all very busy. But now it's gotten to a point where the only video games I like to play are with friends. So I don't play single-player games very much anymore. I don't even play online games very much anymore. My greatest joy comes from when we played Mario Maker, or when we all played Animal Crossing, or even going up to the bar and playing Yacht Dice with Maria. That's just like Squadrons and Battlefront. I would not play Battlefront anymore if you and Tanner weren't playing with me. It's not that it's a bad game. It's just like I don't play video games a lot. So if I can play with my friends and spend time with them, that's really the only time I like to play video games anymore. I'm still going to get the Series X when it comes out, and I'm probably going to get the PS5. But yeah, you always hear that people kind of lose their taste for video games. You kind of grow out of it, quote unquote. And I was Homer Simpson. I was like, not me, man. I'm gonna keep rocking forever. But no, you kind of do. You realize as you get a little bit older that there are more important things than playing video games, except Mario 35. That shit's a lot of fun.
See, I need to give that a shot. I haven't gotten around to doing that. That feels like it would also be exclusively fun or in a group, though, like being around. I don't think I would want to sit and play that by myself. I need people to at least witness what's going on when that's all happening.
Yeah, that's the most fun of it, is when like I watch Ethan play, Ethan watches me play, we play together, and it just like pointing out stuff like, oh, watch out for that, and like, oh, you got to do this, is definitely more fun than what I do. Sometimes I'll towards the end of the night, I'll say goodnight to people, and then I'll go lift because I'm into lifting too. Because I need to get I gotta pay the swole toll.
Yeah, get swole.
But once I'm done with that, I'll pop on a YouTube video and I'll sit there and play a round or two of Mario 35. And it's fun, but it's not the same without the audience, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's basically why I kind of forgot that it was coming out, but that's why I haven't really gotten around to giving that a shot yet. I mean, again, 3D All-Stars is great. I'm glad to have it around, you know? But because there will be a moment where I will go, oh, I really want to play Mario 64 again. I can do that. I can just throw this in. Like you said, Video Kid, like something I can just do, especially right now, something I can do repetitiously, and that's the only reason that I occasionally play Battlefront where it's just me. If you and Tanner are on, there are times that I pop on to Battlefront and I just turn on Blast and I just let it run. And you know, I can do that for a couple of hours and then go, oh, okay, it's been a couple hours. I got that out of my system. Let's move on. But yeah, I mean, sitting and playing a single player game over quarantine, don't get me wrong, I did a lot more of that than I thought that I would normally. But even then, all right, Final Fantasy VII, the remake, I played through that almost exclusively with Sarah as an audience, or when I was at the store with you guys and other people were watching. It was more, I'm going to play this and other people are going to enjoy it with me, as opposed to I'm going to sit and play this game by myself. The last thing that I remember sitting and playing by myself without really much of an audience, the last two would have been last year, Control and Red Dead 2. And since then. I don't think I have, and I have some great single player experiences, don't get me wrong, but I'm not just sitting around playing a single player game. Cyberpunk might change that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I could
about
see that.
That
being the case. I kind of keep forgetting that's coming out. At this point, I guess I'm just going to get it on the 1X and just, you know.
You get that free upgrade, apparently.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'll get it on the 1X. If you can transfer the saves to the Series X once I get my hands on one, I'll just do that. Because this game is going to be like 300 hours long, I'm sure.
I hope.
Well, they said they cut down some of the like main story based on complaints about the length of The Witcher, but I think the point was they moved some of that stuff to side quests so you don't feel like you have to complete every single thing, something like that.
I'm going to state an unpopular opinion right now. I didn't think The Witcher 3 was as good as everyone says it is.
I'm going to hit you with one that's probably going to offend people even more. I have never even played it.
It's one of those things that, like, everyone said you got to play it. Bob loved it. Yeah. And when they brought it out for Switch, I bought it day one. I bought Witcher and Overwatch on Switch.
Yeah.
And I barely played either of them.
Yeah.
When they put Witcher 3 on Game Pass, I was like, okay, well, here's a better version of it. Maybe it was just the fact that the Switch version is a watered down. I mean, it was a good game. Like, it looked good and all that, but it's not going to compare to, like, the X version. So I just started watching the Witcher TV show, too. So I thought, you know, I'm kind of in a Witcher mood. Let's do this. And I started playing through it, and I still don't. I mean, it's good, but, like, I just don't think it's as good as everyone made it out to be. But whatever. Everyone's got their different tastes. I do enjoy Fallout 76. In fact, the last game that I did play on my own when no one was around was Fallout 76. I would outlast everybody. Bob would go to bed, Lindsay would go to bed, Allie would go to bed, and then I would go downstairs and jump on my Xbox One and play Fallout 76 till like 3 in the morning. Nobody bothered me. I just scavenged for supplies and I built my little house, and it was a pleasurable experience. Then I started to play with Marco Stunt for a little while. AEW's Marco Stunt, personal friend. But we both kind of got out of it around the same time, because, you know, obviously he's busy with All Elite Wrestling, and I've got other things that I have to do. That's very important.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know, man. There are times I think I'm just done with video games. I would rather create at this point than play other people's creations.
We were talking about that, and to a certain degree, you're right. There are some things that I'm just going to, I don't want to say grow out of, but just kind of drift away from, probably. I don't think I'll ever just flat out leave them behind. I mean, I still can pop into something and enjoy it. I started playing Sunset Overdrive a couple of months ago, randomly, because it was on, it was on Game Pass, but I had forgotten. I already got it as a game with gold back when it was that, like, 2 years ago. So when my Game Pass expired and it was still on there, I was like, all right, I'll just keep doing this. And it's perfectly fine. But I cannot remember, this is what really is the worst part. I cannot remember the last time that a game just blew my mind. The last time that something just hooked me so badly. I mean, like you said, we played Animal Crossing together. We had a lot of fun doing that.
Mario Maker.
You know what? Really, Mario Maker was one of the last times I remember just being like, yes, this is the thing. And I hate that the sequel was better in every conceivable way, and yet I still put next to no time in it.
Well,
the sequel did so many great things for that first one, to improve on the first one. And yeah, I was like, yeah, it sure is. I'm done with this.
I still think it's because of the community. Like, part of the reason we enjoyed Mario Maker so much, you know, reinvigorating that Mario Maker community, it was because me and you and Ethan and Zach Price and Dalton and everybody would just crowd around each other. We would share the gamepad and we would just go through the levels. And because the levels were usually bad, let's be honest. Like, the levels weren't great.
Oh, yeah.
People didn't design Mario as well as Nintendo did, believe it or not. But it was just the humor of it and the fun.
What was it? Telling me. Come on.
It was very funny, is what it was.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it really was. Like, even just swiping levels away. Because Sarah and I did that. Remember, I played at the store, and we had a Wii U. But I hadn't messed with it in the longest time because we got it, we played through a couple of games, and then it just kind of sat there. And I played at the store, and I'm like, no, I have to have this at home. And even at home, Sarah and I would start playing it, and legitimately, I remember I would have to go back in my memories to find it, but whatever year it was that it came out, there was a Saturday morning, we were still at our old house, this is before we had bought the house that we're in now, and we got up on a Saturday morning, and we had found, it was like a version of Captain Crunch, but they were like frosted donut, Captain Crunch. It was like sprinkles and stuff. It was weird. But we were sitting, we just instinctively got up. It was like 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And it was like the spirit of 2 10-year-olds had taken us over, because we just like wandered to the kitchen, grabbed the cereal. No bowl, no milk, just get the box. Into the living room, pick up the gamepad, and we just started playing 100 Lives, Extra Hard, pass the pad back and forth, and whoever didn't have the pad had the box of cereal, just munching handfuls of frosted donut. It was adorable, and it was much fun.
That's relationship goals right there.
Yes, it was so much fun. And like you said, I mean, we did that for the longest time. We did that there. We did that at the store. Even swiping levels away was fun. Even being like, this is stupid. Just swipe it away.
Yeah.
And so when they announced the sequel, I was psyched, man. I was so excited about it. But yeah, it's again, you can't go home again. It's not the same thing.
And hearing you talk about that with Sarah, it just reminds me that like a lot of people play video games to win. And I don't. I play video games for just the enjoyment of it. I don't give a shit about winning. How many times have we played Battlefront 2 and got our asses handed to us, and we're just cracking constantly up and laughing about it?
Well, even that's me and you playing, or me, you, and Tanner playing Squadrons the other night. I mean, we were getting destroyed. We played for an hour. We played through 2 matches, and we still lost. We were losing to bots. But by the end of it, we had memes going. By the end of it, I mean, it was the reverse Padilla. I forget what that dude's name was. That bot's name that just kept destroying us. I'm like, I'm like, this month.
Hated him
right here. I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna kill him.
Fucking A-wing, man. OP.
It was ridiculous. But yeah, it's that sense of community, and it's
That's why it's there's been very few times that I have been able to play a video game with a significant other like that and have a lot of fun. Lindsay and I did that with, when we were together, we did that with World of Warcraft, and we you know, in space, nobody can hear you in space.
That's what Alan told me.
That's what Alan told me. When Lindsay and I dated, it was very much World of Warcraft. We played it like all night long together, it was a lot of fun. When Allie and I started dating, it actually was Warcraft again. First, it was Meat Boy. She got into Meat Boy, which, for a girl that doesn't play video games, to jump in and be good at a game like Meat Boy was honestly surprising. And then we got her into World of Warcraft. With Maria, it was that Animal Crossing moment was so much fun, and it was just like we were laughing our ass off the entire time. And then she and I, you know, she would stay the night sometimes, and we started playing Untitled Goose Game together, and we played that I think two nights, and we're just cracking up. Like every little thing that happens, if I played that game by myself, I would be like, this is fun. But having her there with me, and she's telling me what to do, and we're trying to figure out the puzzles, and we're just laughing our asses off together. Like, that is some of my favorite memories right there. That is good shit. And I never got that when I was a kid, because I always wanted to win. I was trying to beat the game. I'm not trying to beat the game anymore. I'm just trying to beat sadness.
I don't know if you knew it. It's related to the situation there specifically, but Untitled Goose Game now has co-op.
Same console?
Yeah. Yeah. It's two geese. You play as two different geese at the same time. To like, it makes everything a lot easier, basically, but it's just fun to interact with each other.
So, do you hear that, Maria? I've got two controllers. If you need a reason to come back, there you go.
That's it.
If co-op Goose Game.
As long as you can play some co-op Goose Game.
So much honking and so much bonking.
That was another one, too, where, like you said, it's at the time, anyway, I played through it single player, but Sarah and I sat on the couch, played through basically the whole thing in a couple of days. And she had to do the same thing for me so often. I'd be doing something, and she'd be like, why don't you try that? Try that over there. That's not going to... No, it worked. It worked. Okay, that worked. Good. she has admitted to me, too. There was this post going around for a while where this one was like, look, nobody tell my husband, but sometimes when he's getting frustrated with a video game, I look up the answer on Google, and then I just kind of, like, drop hints in your direction.
Maria did the same thing, because there were parts that I couldn't figure out, and then she would tell me, and I'd be like, oh, how'd you know? She's like, I Googled it. Like, oh, okay, Jesse.
Sarah,
No!
Sarah, she would not tell me that was the case until that post started going around, and then she goes, yeah, there's absolutely been times that you've been playing something, and I'll just, like, stealth Google it, and then, you know, walk through the room and be like, I don't know, have you tried going up that set of steps over there? I'm like, no. Of course, it.
God, see, it was so different with both Lindsay and Allie, because neither of them Googled shit. And we would play World of Warcraft, especially together, and they would ask me how to do every fucking thing. And I know one of them is probably listening to this show. You could take a guess at which one, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. It would just be simple things like, where is this at? How do I do this? And I would go over there, and I would like look through her quest log and go, did you read this part where it told you what to fucking do? Except I didn't say that, obviously. It was so frustrating, because it was like, just Google it. Just look it up. You have a computer. I'm getting agitated, and I apologize.
Slow down.
I got to.
What's the bit from Wayne's World?
Wayne's World.
You're in a field with Heather Locklear, and you're warm, very warm.
Oh, by the way, I think we should let's give a quick shout out to Christina Applegate. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I also want to mention that Derek Boxdorfer had a request. He said, do me a favor and call Donald Trump a bitch for skipping out on the debate and getting it canceled. Well, Derek, we don't talk politics in October.
That's right.
But if I were to call Donald Trump a bitch, it would be just now because he got the debate canceled. That's all I'll say.
Did I send you the GIF of it's from Starship Troopers, but at the very end when they capture the brain bug and Neil Patrick Harris is like, it's afraid. It's afraid someone did that, only they replaced the bug with his head, and they said when he skips out on the debate, it's afraid.
I love the cup that says Christ is coming. Are you swallowing?
Well, that's according to the sign. That's a bowl and or plate.
That is referencing that is referencing sticky rice right there. One person got that joke. God bless them.
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't for once. Hunter and I are actually pretty similar in a lot of our tastes, and
simpatico.
A lot of people they've accused us of being like, oh, you guys just agree on the same things. And we talked about movies earlier. There's one movie we will never agree on,
that's true,
and has been divisive in our relationship, and that is the Ghostbusters 2016 version. I like that movie a lot. Hunter hates it. It's proof that we don't agree on everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, too, for a long time. Oh, what was the other? There was a Star Wars movie that we were... I think The Last Jedi, you and I were kind of divided on for some time.
Which side of the coin were you on?
See, I like The Last Jedi.
Oh, no, I like The Last Jedi. So
okay,
that's not
maybe
me.
Maybe it's not then. Maybe that's somebody else.
I know. I fucking hated Rise of Skywalker for the most part, other than a couple scenes.
I didn't hate it. But I also... It's one of those movies that the longer... Or the more I've watched it, the more I'm like, oh, there's so many problems. There's so many things I was willing to overlook in the theater. And then every time it's like, oh, the last time I watched this, I let this go, but I can't let it go anymore.
Well, it's one of those things that you could tell that they'd had different directors with different visions, and now they're trying to tie it all back together, and it's just a giant clusterfuck.
Ghostbusters, though, is always going to be that thing of just, I have the same complaints that I'm never going to relent on. I mean, it's never had anything to do with the female cast. I cannot say it enough.
No, we did a show on that.
Enough. Yes.
We did a show on that.
Yeah. The cast was fine. They were not my favorite actresses, don't get me wrong. If you're going to go with an all-female cast, there are absolutely different people I would have put on those roles. But it could have been good.
Except I think Kristen Wiig and Kate McKinnon did a great job. Melissa McCarthy was fine.
Kate McKinnon did a great job. I like Kristen Wiig, I do. But she could have, okay, let me rephrase that. She couldn't have done better because of the material that they gave her. That was the problem.
Yeah, she played the material perfectly. It was just the material she was given. Kate McKinnon, on the other hand, I don't know what she did, but she went above and beyond her role. And then Melissa McCarthy was fine. She honestly was very inoffensive. The best thing I can say about her is just she was there. And that's surprising for Melissa McCarthy because I never liked Melissa McCarthy. And then there was Leslie Jones.
Yeah, there sure was. You and I—that's another thing that we've pretty well always been on the same page. I have never found Leslie Jones funny. I have never. I mean, there have been
moments.
Moments of her on SNL, but I mean, she played the same thing on SNL that she did in Ghostbusters, that she did in every other thing she's ever been in, that she did in her stand-up. It's just, the louder I get, the funnier I am. Laugh at me, and it just doesn't work, man. I mean, even Chris Farley had the comedic chops to get past the just, I'm just going to scream at you, and that's funny.
Yeah.
So it just...
Sometimes.
Well, but you know, I mean, the perfect example, the Chris Farley show. You know, you remember that time that you were in RoboCop? That was awesome, man.
I do remember RoboCop.
I will not sit here and say, oh, if you just recast that film with different actresses, it would be better. No, it wouldn't, because the material wasn't great. The biggest problem with that movie was not any of the actresses. It was Paul Feig. Paul Feig was 100% the problem with that movie.
It was a very Paul Feig movie.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know what kills me about that is I loved Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids was hilarious. I did not need to see Bridesmaids Ghostbusters edition. That was the problem.
And it reminds me, we've been watching this skit from SNL a lot lately, the Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders.
Yes.
And it's that same thing. It's like you take Wes Anderson and you put him in a horror film. You take Paul Feig and put him in a Ghostbusters film. They're going to do what they always do. And it's sometimes it just doesn't fit, man. It's not a good combination. I still like the movie, as I'm sure I would love the Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders. If you if you give me enough stop motion mouse, I'm going to be satisfied. And
that's all you really need.
And Danny Glover.
Hello. I had to debate on going with either Danny Glover or Stop Motion Mouse's rated G. but yeah, I like, you know what really kills me about that too is I like Paul Feig and some things that he's done. Again, I liked Bridesmaids. Now, granted, he was not the main driving force behind Bridesmaids, but he was good for that. He did some episodes of The Office. I liked the episodes of The Office that he did. But just in general, man.
I've never seen a movie from him other than Ghostbusters.
What else has he done?
And for a little while, I thought he was Tim Gunn. Out.
Yeah, he very much looks the part.
I just thought he was Tim Gunn. I thought Tim Gunn like maybe started directing films.
And so he had a big hand in Freaks and Geeks, which is like that blows my mind. Him and Judd Apatow did all that. See, I think that's where the divide goes. When he and Judd Apatow part, I'm a Judd Apatow guy. I would follow him, not to the ends of the earth or anything, don't get me wrong. He made some stinkers too, but I would much rather watch stuff like This Is 40 and the things that Apatow did, even outside of the Anchorman and that kind of stuff. But yeah, Paul Feig's got his main things under his belt seem to be like Bridesmaids, Freaks and Geeks. He did The Heat, like most of Melissa McCarthy's comedic stuff. He produced the Peanuts movie, which he produced.
Oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
But again, for the record, he produced it. That was mainly, that's it.
Right.
So I just read, I didn't know this, in 2019 when Disney acquired 20th Century Fox, which, remember that? That was last year. You remember how long ago that was? That feels like it was a week ago.
That was, yeah.
Ugh. Apparently his company, Feig Co. Productions, is moving to Universal Pictures, so he's going to be working with them going forward. Well, he really hasn't, as far as a director goes, he hasn't done anywhere near as much as I thought. Bridesmaids, The Heat, and Spy, both of which were, okay. Ghostbusters, A Simple Favor, and Last Christmas.
Oh, I do want to see A Simple Favor. Good. Yeah, I want to watch that because that's the one with, isn't it Anna Kendrick? Kendrick or Anne Hathaway?
Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Linda Cardellini is in it. So yeah, apparently it's pretty good.
Okay, so you said Blake Lively, Linda Cardellini, and Anna Kendrick?
Yes.
Hit three crush buttons for me. Tanner's not here.
Tanner, can you hear us? No, he can't because he's not here.
I had the absolute biggest crush. I know this isn't that show, but I had the biggest crush on Anna Kendrick, and I still do. Not only is she, like, gorgeous, but she's just so funny and so cute. I always liked Blake Lively, and I always liked Linda Cardellini. She was the only reason I wanted to watch Scooby-Doo, because I sure as shit didn't want to watch Matthew Lillard.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, I said it.
Is it because you didn't like his Shaggy, or just because you don't like Matthew Lillard?
I didn't like Matthew Lillard at the time. I like him more now. He was in that same, oh my God. If people that aren't into movies are listening to this show going, fuck these guys. When are they going to make the offensive jokes?
Come on, man. If they're listening to this show and they're not into movies, what are you wasting your time?
He was on the same level for me as Dax Shepard, where like, I didn't care about them. They didn't sell me. If I saw that they were in a film, I wouldn't care. And I like both of them a lot more now than I did back then. Same thing with Heather Graham. I never liked Heather Graham in films growing up, but now I actually like her quite a bit. You know?
That's fair. Matthew Lillard always worked for me, only because I guess, I don't want to say only, but I think probably because I like Scream so much. And so I took him from that and just kind of applied that to most other stuff. Dax Shepard, though, we talk about a guy who, oh man, every time I've ever seen Dax Shepard, I just hate him. I don't know why. I have no reason to hate Dax Shepard. I can barely tell you anything he's been in. Dax Shepard, to me, exists exclusively as Kristen Bell's husband. That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't give a crap about any horrible movie he's been in. It looks like he's, like, almost all of his filmography is just crap. He's got a stupid name. He looks like a dork. Like, everything about him angers me, and yet at the same time, I'm like, I don't know why I hate this guy. I have no reason to hate this guy.
And the more I look into, like, his personal life and the struggles he's gone through and how positive he's been about it and stuff like that, the more I like him as a person. So then I, you know, trying to balance that with how much I hate him as an actor for no reason at all.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. Well, it was the opposite for me with Jamie Kennedy. I liked Jamie Kennedy a lot in Scream. That was the first movie I saw Jamie Kennedy in. And then I've grown to hate him just with a passion. I cannot stand Jamie Kennedy at this point.
But he's given you ample reasons to do so. You and I both watched that thing where he what was that weird little documentary he did where
about
he
hecklers?
Was trying to he was confronting the guy about, you know, talking about how bad he was, and he makes it so awkward.
Yeah. He does a big sexual joke about how the guy needs to get, like, his knob slobbed on or something. And the guy's just standing there staring at him because he had a genuine critique of Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
And what a douchebag. Like, I wanted to punch him in his stupid face.
Well, he spends the whole time just like, well, you know, who gives you the right to say what isn't and isn't funny? And the guy legitimately hits him back with, you know, fair criticism of nobody did. Nobody said that was the case, but, you know, this is what I do for a living. I give fair critiques of comedic performances. I've never had somebody come to me afterward and go, that's not fair of you to say about me. You know, yeah, comedy is subjective, but what you're saying is unequivocally not funny. Like, there's no one else here laughing at this. And he's just like, well, why are you trying to make me feel bad? Like, come on, man. It's just pathetic. Yeah. It's just pathetic.
Yeah. And that made me dislike him so much. I would say I refuse to watch a Jamie Kennedy movie, but I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't going to watch one to begin with. Scream is the only, it's the only film he ever did that I liked, I'm pretty sure.
And that is I would never once go, oh, the classic Jamie Kennedy film, Scream. You know, I mean, he has that one, you know, classic bit about the horror movie rules, and that's it.
Right.
It's not his film in any way whatsoever.
Jesus Christ. The things you do when
look, I want to like make it. It looks like who?
It's Joe from Family Guy.
Hang on.
Oh my
God! I'll make it a little better. Okay, is that better?
That's better.
Now I'm looking a little closer. Oh!
It's a ditto.
Little ditto face.
It's a little ditto on an alien. Oh my God!
he put a little sneaky on you.
We've only got a couple minutes left, and Hunter, I got some
great
news for you.
How do we only have a couple minutes left?
I don't know. We just spent an entire hour bullshitting about movies and, I think, video games, maybe?
Maybe. This is what we do only when we're not recording. This is like...
Yeah, this is us just sitting in gaming grounds
just
talking.
Just riffing.
But then Ethan comes in, and then you always hit him with that classic.
The poor boy thinks he's just a bit to me. It's not true, Ethan. You're more to me than a fart night bit, but also more like fart night.
He listened to the show where you were talking about him, and he was so happy about it.
Do you remember, by the way, how that? Because I was trying to remember this the other day, how the fart night bit originated. Do you remember what the bit was?
I vaguely.
We were at the store, and I don't remember who all was involved. I just know me, you, and Ethan were there. And I want to say it was one of those nights that Sarah had class and I was down there and like Tanner was, it was the that night that Tanner showed up and we all played Fortnite. And at some point in time, Ethan, like, way too quietly, because the boy's confidence was not out there yet, way too quietly, he was like, oh, he said the bit first. He's like, oh, more like fart night. And nobody like heard it, but I was standing there looking at him and I kind of chuckled. And he was like, ah, nobody heard the bit. And I said, Ethan, watch this. I looked him dead in the eye and went, Ethan, watch this. Yeah, more like fart night, like loud, and you guys started laughing, and he looked at me like, how and also why would you do this to me?
You just emasculated him and taught him, put him on where his place on the totem pole there.
So that was the whole bit. It was just, all I got to do is say the joke louder, now it's my bit.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I've done it ever since, is I'll just look at him, Ethan, it's more like fart night.
You Johnny Cashed him, took hurt and made it your own.
Oh,
but the good news, Hunter, is of the search, I believe, and this is, I'm saying this before I've checked my phone to make sure nothing terrible has happened tonight. The search for future girlfriend is over.
Yes.
It was a long, like 3 week search. The good news is, I think at this point, I will be watching Hamilton soon, so you and Tanner can celebrate. I won't name any names. It's not who you think it is.
You have no idea how badly, by the way, I wanted to come in here tonight and be like, all right, here's what we're doing. Tanner's not coming to the show tonight. It's just me and you. Let's do a Hamilton opening bid, and when he hears it, he's going to absolutely shit a brick. He's going to be so mad.
Yeah. He so desperately wants me to watch Hamilton, and it's
I mean, fair. I do too.
I can't say it's going to happen like immediately, but as soon as it can happen, it will happen. So
yes,
then I'll finally watch Hamilton, and everyone will be happy. The search is over. No more flammable women. No more sex dolls. The rumors of my personal life are dead and buried. And it's not who you think. It is definitely not Homer Simpson, pink. What the fuck am I even looking at?
That's Homer mixed with Plankton from SpongeBob. Not Plankton. What's that dude's name?
Patrick?
There you go. I never watched SpongeBob. I don't know.
I never watched. The only time I've watched SpongeBob, literally, it was actually a year ago this month when I was in the main event of Hardcore Halloween 3. It's Otis Crowley versus Jackson Crowley. Raven is at ringside. At the end of the show, I hit Jackson in the face with the belt, and Otis wins. And after the fact, I make fun of Jackson. He beats me with a chair probably like 15 times straight to the back. And you can find that video on Facebook, I believe, on Cape Championship Wrestling. That night, I was in so much pain that Allie ended up taking me to the hospital, to the emergency room, and there was nothing to do at 4 in the morning, so I marathoned SpongeBob while I was there. It is the only time I've ever watched SpongeBob, and I'm going to be honest with you. Wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was actually kind of charming. Now, I'll never say that out loud, but I'm telling you that.
I was going to say it's on tape now. They can still hear this.
Are we still posting these shows?
This is still, this is still going up.
Who the fuck would listen to this?
It's just Zane Laney. It's only him. He's the only one. I also want to apologize to Zane, who was going to add me as a friend on Facebook today. Zane, I need you to understand, I have 17 friends on Facebook, all of whom are people who I talk to on a regular basis. You can talk to me at r/Podzilla1985, and we'll keep in touch that way.
I know that's not your intention, but in my head I was like, did he just big time Zane Laney?
you got a big time on couple times every once in a while. You know, it's got to be done.
I will say this about Zane. Zane is
a
someone
treasure.
He is, and I actually do talk to him regularly. Like, he and I message each other on Facebook quite a bit, and he's a good outside source that I can bounce things off of and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. What do you think, man? He's just the coolest dude in the world.
Yes.
I appreciate the fact that our Zane Laney love has continued since, like, what is it, like going on 2 years now? If you want to be a ghost from Donkey Kong, nope. If you want to get in our good graces, you can go over to r/Podzilla1985 and join in on the festivities over there. There's a big thing going on right now. You're going to hear a couple people talking about Dripping Brown in Browntown. Let me just be the first one to tell you that is done. We're not talking about that anymore.
Oh, no, it's absolutely not done. We're still Dripping Brown over here. We Dripping Brown all through October, through November. We Dripping Brown into the new year.
Of all the things that I could have been known for, I got Mr. 100 and Dripping Brown. Like, Dripping oh, my Brown. God.
You know it's going to be on a shirt. We're making shirts.
I'm not going to wear it.
You don't have to wear it. We're just going to wear it around you.
No one's going to wear it. No one's going to be Dripping Brown when I'm around.
I'll wear it. I'll wear it all the time. I'll wear it under my work uniform.
If my parents were still alive, I feel like they would have died from shame.
I need people to understand that Dripping Brown is about ice cream, and that doesn't make it any less funny. Like, it's still
so we're sitting there on a bench, we're overlooking the river, it's this really sweet moment, and we're talking, and it's a lot of fun, and I adore this person, and I don't notice that I'm dripping all this chocolate everywhere. I trusted the cone to take care of me, and the cone failed me. So as we notice this, and she brings up the Dripping Brown thing, she originated it, Maria originated it. She goes and says, I'm going to post it on Reddit. And I thought, in my infinite wisdom, that I could reverse psychology her and act like she should post it. And if I do that, then she's not going to. And I played the game and I was wrong. She posted it. I found out later. I don't know why I thought that was going to work. That was pretty stupid of me. If I could go back in time, what I would have done is I would have grabbed her phone, thrown it into the Ohio River, and then no Brown Town. I mean, no Dripping Brown. Whatever it is.
AKA Brown Town. Say it like that.
Brown Town.
Brown Town.
All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. And the only reason I'm cutting it off at an hour straight is because I got pizza coming in a few minutes, and I'm about to chow down, and I'm probably going to start Bly Manor. So I will let you know how far I get on that season or episode two thing.
Yes.
So with that said, I want to thank you guys for tuning in once again. This has actually been one of my favorite episodes of Horse Time. It's also the most inoffensive.
Yes.
It's just this is what happens when Hunter and I get together. So, and look, Tanner just messaged me. Jesus Christ.
Is he wanting Tanner, to get in?
No, Tanner and Jesse literally both just messaged me about a game called Phasmophobia.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They sent it to the group chat, too.
And I've heard about it. It's like a ghost hunting game. It looks cool. I don't know. I'll check it out. We'll see.
Yeah,
it's a
VR deal. They're trying to get Dalton to play it for Halloween.
Dalton ain't going
to
play that.
That's
Dalton
not
going to
happen.
Dalton tried to play. He couldn't play PT, and that wasn't in VR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Asa is watching Bly Manor, for the record. He help me. Audrey, yes, thank you.
Audrey,
I could not think of her name to save my life. Apparently, they're watching Bly Manor because he messaged me earlier. Well, first he messaged the group chat and said, and I quote, LOL, fuck Bly Manor. And I was like, no, it's so good. And he said that even the opening credits of that show would be too much for Dalton. So he messaged me separately and was just kind of talking about a little bit about the show. But they're farther than I am. I'm like, hang on, man. I only just finished episode two. Don't say any more. Tanner is freaking out about Phasmophobia. He literally just said, holy fuck, I want this.
Whatever, I'll probably get it. But, like, World of Warcraft is dropping their pre-patch for Shadowlands on the 13th, and there's a bunch of stuff they're adding in, so I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm probably going to get back an Untitled Goose Game because I never got to beat that, especially with co-op now.
Yes.
We got Squadrons. I'm going to get back an Animal Crossing, I'm assuming, because the Halloween event. So
Cyberpunk,
I got a lot of stuff
coming up in
Cyberpunk's
a month.
Coming out. Yeah, there's so much stuff to play, and then I'm still having a lot of fun with Mario 35, so I'll try to squeeze it in where I can. I think I just heard my pizza get delivered, so we're going to bounce out
of here. Do the thing.
Which thing?
No, the pizza. Go get the pizza.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat the pizza.
Yeah.
I'm just going to eat the whole pizza. I'm going to eat the crust.
Just move the
stupid baby.
Move the dumpster, you bitch.
You brid. Anyway, hey, Lindsay, say hello.
Hi.
Hey,
there's Lindsay. All right, for myself, for Hunter, for Lindsay, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another Horse Time here on Podzilla 1985. We'll see you guys on Monday with an all-new I Want to Believe, and then we're going to do the whole week again. PZ85 Plays, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Podzilla, Terrifying Tanner Thursdays presents Podzilla 1985. Are you afraid of Podzilla 1985 After Dark Spooky Time? Whatever. It's the fucking show where we talk about spooky things. And then another Horse Time next week. So, until then, you guys take care of yourself. We'll see you then. Hunter, take us out.
Have you ever ended a show by saying, later?